We want to turn now to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28, Proverbs 25, 28. I know you'll be kind of groggy tonight a little bit with the air conditioning dying. It was working yesterday. I turned it on and in the evening and set it at 72. It was working. I guess it could just fry it overnight, but that's our units have to be 20-something years old. It's just time for new ones, so we'll try to get on that this week and find somebody to get us band-aid up till we can get some new units in there. And but just pretend it's like when we just moved into the building. We had no air conditioning. We had no windows. And we had hard oak pews that we sat on. And, folks, the church was packed. Those were some of the best days we've ever had. I mean, God worked. People wanted to get baptized. And they just, some were getting baptized every Sunday. So those were great days, man. That's all we had was where these pillars were, the walls. Right there was stained glass windows. One little window flipped open like this and did absolutely nothing. And we had three fans across the ceiling going full speed. It was like taking off in an airplane every week. And all it did was move the hot air around, made it warmer, it seemed. So, But praise the Lord for air conditioning. If you didn't know this, the father of air conditioning was born in Angola, New York, Willis Carrier. And he was the one who invented, and there was a time when it was amongst the seven top inventions in human history that benefited the human race, was air conditioning. It still should be up there, I think, but Anyways, let's get into the word, and I'm going to try to keep moving along here. I wanted to contrast two men. I'll see if we can do that tonight. I hope this will especially help you men, adult men like me, but this is for everybody, okay, everybody? And in Proverbs 25 and verse 28, it says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." And I do want to speak towards the subject of man's emotions. Last week, I believe I spoke on wisdom, the seven pillars of wisdom, and how we really need to read the book of Proverbs, every one of us. There's so much wisdom in here, including this verse that I have memorized that has helped me many times in my life. I hope you've memorized it. My wife and I were with Pastor Lewis this morning. What a tremendous service we had at the Hilltop Baptist Church. The place was just crowded and visitors. Listen, there was a family there where 11 members of their family were in church this morning. And this is a family that I have literally prayed for since the 1980s. Please do not quit praying for people. And I have never seen so many of them in church as there were this morning. And so even when it looks absolutely hopeless, and I don't want to get into the specifics, but that was a miracle this morning. People were coming up to me. A teenager came up to me and said, "This is my friend from school, and I got to lead her to the Lord a couple weeks ago." Hallelujah. And just wonderful people. I didn't even know who they were. It was a great, great morning this morning with Pastor Lewis, but and Hilltop Baptist. But Pastor Lewis said that his mother made him memorize this when he was a little boy. I don't know if he was a little hothead or what, but she would make him quote this whenever he was having problems with his emotions. And I just remember him telling me, he didn't give me the details, but he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And good to see you, Doug. I see you back there. Amen. Welcome back. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. You have to understand that you and I all live in three different realms. We live in three realms. The physical realm, that is your body. The emotional realm, that is your spirit, with the small s. See that small s? That's not the Holy Spirit, that's the human spirit. That's your emotions, your feelings, your will, your attitude. We live in the emotional realm, and then we live in the spiritual realm, I hope. You must be born again. All right, you got to be saved to be alive in the spiritual realm. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And so there's three realms, and I believe that one of the most difficult realms that we have to live in, especially as men, and we don't like to talk about it, is the emotional realm. The emotional realm. And as I finished being a pastor 40 years, I retired in March. I believe that over those 40 years as a pastor, my biggest struggle was not with the world or the flesh or the devil, but my biggest struggle was with my own emotions. My own emotions almost did me in sometimes. But thank the Lord, my wife and I started reading the book of Proverbs when we were newlyweds 43 years ago, before I ever became a pastor, almost 44 years now. We just started reading it every day, every morning. I think I told this story so many times. But we'd read a chapter. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and we'd read a chapter the first day of the month, the second chapter, the second day, the third chapter. And we'd read it out loud at the kitchen table in after breakfast, and if I had to rush out to work, I was a farmer, we would make it up at night. And after dinner, I would read the book of Proverbs. And we read it through 72 consecutive times. And with our children, they were probably pretty bored with it too when they started coming along. But we started reading it to them. And I can't tell you how much this book helped me with decisions in so many areas of life, including the inner man. The inner man. And that's the man that you and I, as men, can struggle with. And sometimes, sadly, we don't even know it exists, and it keeps ruining us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." So, the Bible tells us that there is a spirit inside of us, men. That is, that there's a literal man you can't see. He's invisible. And sometimes, synonymously in the Bible, the spirit is called the ghost. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And the Bible says he hung his head and gave up the ghost. There is an invisible man inside of our bodies, a ghost, which is the spirit. He's very real. In fact, he's probably more real than our body, because our body's going to go into the grave and turn into dust. But that spirit, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and verse 25, that right now heaven is filled with the spirits of just men made perfect. They're not up there in bodies right now. I know we hear crazy things at funerals, but we got to correct those funerals with the Word of God. There are no bodies in heaven right now. There's the spirits of those that have been saved, that left the body. And just as Jesus' body went into the grave, his spirit went into heaven. And he commended his spirit into the hands of the Father. Now, someday our spirits will be united with a brand new body that Jesus will create for us at the resurrection. And then we will once again be that triumvirate, that association of three persons, a body, a spirit, and a soul forever. That's going to be amazing. It's going to be a glorified body. And we've talked a little bit about that on Wednesday nights. But what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man that is in him? We need to be aware of the spirit of man that's in us so we can know ourselves, is what that verse is saying. So that you can know. If you don't know yourself, you can be your own worst enemy. I mean, any one of us can think of a man right now in our lives who we knew who destroyed his life because he couldn't control his emotions. He couldn't control his lust. He couldn't control his pride. He couldn't control his anger. He couldn't control his jealousy or his envy or his covetousness. And all these emotions, these feelings that affect the attitude and the will. And he had no control over that. You and I are that association. We're a trinity. We're a triumvirate. Understand how you're made by God. Another verse I memorized was 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse gives us hope. That verse says that if we yield ourselves to the God of peace, he will sanctify your body. All right, that's a different subject. The body has a lot of lusts and impulses and hormones and all that we got to deal with. But God can help us. He'll sanctify your whole spirit and soul. So God can help us. How much can God help us? This verse says to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can, if we yield to the God of peace and let him control us, we can stand before God someday blameless in body, blameless in spirit. Blameless in spirit. Can you imagine being able to stand before God and honestly say in your spirit you never hated anybody? Wouldn't that be amazing? I wasn't angry at anybody. Didn't have jealousy, didn't have envy, didn't have covetousness and pride, and lost all these things. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, it must be possible, because it says God is able to preserve us like that. But we got to yield to God. We got to yield to God, because you can't leave the church tonight and say, well, I'm just going to try harder. You're going to fail farther, too. But if we ask God for help, as I'm constantly asking God for help with my spirit, he can sanctify us. Now, back again in Proverbs, look at verse chapter 20. Proverbs 20, verse 27. This is enlightening. If we can understand this verse, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man, again, that's the inner man that houses your emotions, your feelings, your attitude. Did you ever hear somebody say, he's got a bad spirit? What do you mean? He's got a bad attitude. Your will. All right. He's a strong-willed child. All right. That's his spirit or something. Now, the spirit of man, that's the inward man, that's what the Lord's really looking at. Why? Because we can really act on the outside. Boy, can we put on a show. I mean, if they ever really wanted to give Oscars out, they should go to churches. That's where your best acting takes place. Week after week after week, the outside stuff. But the Lord is in there with his candle. It's like today we might call it a spotlight or a flashlight. He's on the inside of us men and women too. And he's looking over our spirit right here, man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. That's why he said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Remember when he confronted Jonah? Doest thou well to be angry? And he was looking at his spirit and said, Jonah, you're angry. You're angry. Is that something you're doing well? No, because later we read the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James 1, verse 20. And so our spirit, but we're told here with God's help in our text tonight, it says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. And so God can give us the strength to rule our spirit. Our spirit does not have to rule us. With God's help, we can rule our spirit. Our lust does not have to rule us. We can rule the lusts. Our anger does not have to rule us. We can rule that. Our jealousy, our envy, or whatever it is, pride, hatred, depression. Boy, there's a lot of people today depressed. A lot of depression today. Real. I mean, like since COVID, it's been like epidemic. The depression people have. And social media. So many studies are out there now, and Pastor Seth has given me a bunch of them that he's found about how social media is leading to so much depression, especially in our youth, especially in teenage girls. Because you get onto social media and it looks like everybody else's life is perfect except yours. Everybody's happy except you. And Facebook, everybody's life is just, you know, whatever. Peaches and cream. Cinderella, I don't know. Just everything on Facebook. And then you look at your life and one out of three teen girls are thinking about suicide. In this land where girls have never had more opportunity in all of history, where they should be so excited about the potential of their life, and they're depressed. You know, you need to either cut way back on your screen time or eliminate it completely and get back to enjoying life, enjoying God. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. And people who live in the presence of God have a lot of joy. You can just see it in them. And they're happy. And screen time, I'm just, you know, I praise the Lord. We had my dad's memorial service yesterday. Dad didn't own a television. We didn't have TV growing up. We didn't. You have it in our house much at all, raising our kids, and I didn't even have a cell phone till 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't even have it connected to the internet, and people probably wonder, how do you exist? I'm having a good time. In fact, since I've been retired and a lot of the pressure of the ministry's off me, I feel like I'm having a revival. I really do. Just enjoying the Lord, and it's been great. It's been great. You wouldn't believe how much joy God can give you. And but you got to rule your spirit. He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. Because back then they had the walls meant something. Back then we don't need your walls aren't going to do a thing for you nowadays. Maybe a border would down south, that would help, but. Walls aren't going to help you because of air, you know, support and drones and bombs and all that kind of stuff. But in that day, that was their whole defense. This says, basically, this is saying a man is defenseless. He is the picture, maybe if you've ever gone to back to the old encyclopedias and seen the pictures of London or Berlin or something in World War II when it was bombed out. Those pictures is what represents a man who can't control his own emotions, his own spirit. And boy, I had some struggles with that growing up in my life. I was a little hothead, and of course I was blaming it on, you know, my mom died of cancer when I was 4. You know, everybody's a victim. Everybody's got a sob story. You know, God doesn't buy that. God's greater than all of that. No matter what you or I have ever lived through, God is greater than all of it. And God can strengthen us as men. God can strengthen us as men. And I think there was a time when I was a basket case emotionally. A basket case emotionally. And God helped me through verses like this and through the power and the help of His Holy Ghost. Turn back to Proverbs 16. And I'm going to cut this pretty short tonight because there's a lot to do this week. And it's not that the air conditioner's got out. You know, I'm eating this ice cream cone this afternoon, and I get chocolate all over my shirt. And so I said to my wife, I said, I think I'll change my shirt. She says, no, your suit coat will hide it, you know. So I can't take my suit coat off. Your tie will hide it. Your suit coat will hide it. It's like, got this chocolate all over me, so I can't. So I'm melting. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than him that taketh a city. Now when it says he that is slow to spirit is better than the mighty is talking about these, you know, real strong guys. They're out lifting weights all the time at the gym. They got muscles where you never knew muscles were. And they're mighty. Maybe they're athletic. They're stars in the football leagues and basketball and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says if you can rule your spirit, the Bible says if you're slow to anger, man, you're better than the mighty. You're better than those sports heroes. And you're better than military conquerors. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You know, you think of General Patton, David Eisenhower, all those great generals we've had. The Bible says you're a stronger man than an athlete or a military ruler if you're slow to anger and you can rule your spirit. See, that's where the battle is, man. That's what separates the real men from the boys, is the emotional realm. The emotional realm. And boy, do we need God's help there. It's kind of funny that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you have a contrast between two men named Saul. The first one in the Old Testament started out good, ended up bad. The second one in the New Testament started out bad, ended up good. And if you ever read their stories, it was an emotional transformation. The first guy, Saul, started out amazing. He was very pious. He was very humble. He was very poor. Couldn't even come up with a quarter shekel of silver one time when he went to see the prophet. He was poor in spirit. He was hiding himself among the stuff when they said, hey, you're supposed to be the next king, or the first king of Israel. He was very, very humble, and he was a prepared man. And there was a time when he had a tremendous rule over his own spirit. When you're in leadership, immediately you have enemies before you've ever done anything. Like Nehemiah, he had enemies before he ever did anything. Same thing with Saul. And Saul had enemies. And he was anointed to be the first king of Israel by Samuel in chapter 10 and by God in the same chapter. Samuel anointed him with oil. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit, changed his life. And four times in Saul of the Old Testament's story, we read that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow. Well, you think he's got it made, right? He's got it made. And when he became king, there were certain children of Belial who hated him already. Never did a thing. But that's just how the world is. If you're a Democrat, the Republicans are not going to like you. If you're a Republican, the Democrats are, before you've ever done a thing, they're not going to like you. It's just the way the world is. And so he had enemies, children of Belial. But there was a band of men whose hearts God had touched to follow Saul as the first king. And these men, the children of Belial, the children of the devil, said, shall Saul rule over us? And so when he did become king, they went up to Saul and said, why don't we just take care of these guys and kill them? They could do that back then. And over in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 27, it says, "But the children of Belial said, 'How shall this man save us?' And they despised him and brought him no presents." Now listen to what Saul did. "But he held his peace." See, when he was a spirit-filled man, he was a man of temperance. He was a man of self-control. He had control over his emotions. Yeah. Why? That's one we never get to the end, but that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. One of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When he was filled with the Spirit, he was filled with temperance, that is self-control. And so these children of Belial, which the kingdom would have been a lot better without him, and he had the authority just as a king. It wasn't like now. But kings, they just wiped out anyone they wanted to. He could have wiped them out, but he held his peace. He had temperance because he was filled with the Spirit. And nothing anybody said to him affected him. Boy, that's when you know you got rule over your spirit. That's when you know you got rule over your spirit. Is when you don't really care what people say, whether it's appreciation or criticism. Neither one affects you. Neither one affects you. And I want to encourage you, do not live on the fuel of appreciation, or you will run out of gas, because there's not a lot of that going around. But don't, like Lee Roberson, I remember him teaching us and saying, look, there's two things that I don't let affect me, appreciation and criticism, because I'm not going to let either affect me. That's good. In the last days, it says this. And I think we're living in the last days. When Jesus prophesied about this subject of people's emotions in the last days, he said this in Matthew 24:10. "And then shall many be offended and shall hate one another and shall betray one another." You know what he's saying? He's saying that people are going to lose control of their emotions. They're going to lose control of their spirit in the last days, and they're going to get offended easily. That is the picture of a man or a woman who does not have rule over their spirit. They get offended easily. And man, we see that every day in the news. This group's offended. This group's offended. This group, you can't use this word. You can't use these pronouns. You can't. Why? You might hurt somebody's little feelings. We were always taught growing up, if you got your little feelings hurt, don't have little feelings. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's how we were brought up. That's how we were brought up. And so, you know, people would come up to me and call me a Polack, because my mother's name was Winkowski. So we got it. You Polack. See, just, we were taught, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. And so you just went on with life. And you call them something. You learned what they were. You can't do that nowadays because everybody's on pins and needles. Everybody's little, the spirit's so fragile. Bunch of babies that need to grow up. You know, Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things." And so people getting offended, people hating others, people betraying others. And the reason being is the farther our country gets away from the Bible and the instructions in the Bible that tell us how to be real men. And we see all this whining. Do you ever see all this whining and moaning? Do you ever see so many people crying? Just turn your television on. Everybody's crying. But how, what a hard life they've had. Oh, it's so hard to be an American. It's just so hard to make it in this country. And people are crying. Girls are crying. Men are crying. Just every time, if you ever watch it, I don't watch TV because every time I just, I'm a victim, Dr. Phil, whatever. Dr. Oz, I don't know what I'd do without Oprah. Boy, I'll tell you, man. I've never watched any of them, but the Bible seems to help me still. But you know something? Saul began to trip up when he became proud and jealous of and envious of his own son, first Jonathan. Because Jonathan went out and won this big war against the Philistines. And then Saul twisted that so that everybody heard that he won the war. And right about there, God started to say, "You're finished." Because God knows the proud are far off. The proud are far off. And God began to separate himself. Psalm 138, verse 6. He knoweth the proud are far off. God began to separate himself from Saul. And he became proud. And he started to get agitated with his son, Jonathan. And twice he threw a javelin at his own son, Jonathan. Because he got so angry. He started losing rule over his spirit when he became proud. Because see, pride is a root, if you picture a tree. Pride is the root. We got to get at the pride. And we often try to treat the fruit, envy, jealousy, lust, hatred, anger, malice, depression. Those are the fruit, and we're trying to make the fruit better when we need to get the root just out and plant humility instead. Amen. Humility. We must constantly pursue humility. And that's dying to self, denying self. Humility is thinking about God and others all of your life. Pride is thinking about yourself all of your life. And boy, that spawns some of the most ungodly, ugly emotions in people, pride. Even depression is rooted in pride. Depression is a symptom, and I know once in a while there's somebody that's got a bad brain or chemical problems or something that they're born. I understand that, but most depression is rooted in the pride of that person just thinking about themselves all the time. And how come my life's not as good as their life? And how come I had to go through this? And how come I don't have what they have? And they're just thinking about themselves. They work themselves into a depression. And sadly, nowadays, the most extreme form of pride is suicide. They just say, I deserve better than this. I'm just going to end it. And so Saul, you got to read 1 Samuel. He just cracks up. I mean, he just cracks up. So Jonathan makes a really good friend named David. All right? And David, boy, he starts doing amazing things with God's help. Because God's chosen him to be the next king. He kills a bear with his own hands. He kills a lion with his own hands. He kills the Philistine with a stone and a slingshot and then cuts his head off with the Goliath's sword. And he's walking around with Goliath's head. And everywhere he goes, he's just got this head in his hand. And people see him, and he just becomes a hero. And then the women do the dumbest thing. Women, if you knew how men were made, you'd never do this. You'd never do this. They start singing. Saul has slain his thousands. But David hath slain his 10,000s. And boy, that was like flipping a switch in Saul's spirit that turned him into a monster. And from that moment on, he's a monster. You ladies need to be careful what you say to men. There's just something about women and what they think about men. In fact, the idea of cheerleaders at first was a good one. Now they're just exotic dancers. But at first it was like, let's get these ladies out to cheer for the local football team. And the guys would try harder because the girls were watching them. Really was a great idea at first. And it's still great when a wife is her husband's greatest cheerleader. When a wife is her husband's greatest encourager. When sisters encourage their brothers to serve the Lord and compliment them. And there's just something about that men feed off of. I just feed off of that. And that song became so popular that the Philistines ended up singing it, word for word. Now, if Saul had ruled his spirit, and if his life had been rooted in humility and not in pride, he would have said what? You know what, ladies? You're right. Let's all thank God for David. That God has sent us our kingdom, a man like this. It sure helps to have men like this. And we, you know, even pastors, don't be intimidated if there's better men in the church than you are. Use them. Use them. Don't be jealous or envious if the church down the road does better than you do. And they win more souls. Praise the Lord, we're on the same team. Hallelujah. Man, some lady was at Countryside a couple weeks ago. I don't know if I told this story now, but I'm almost done. The water might keep me going, though. But she was from Bellevue Baptist Church in Tennessee. She was there for a Thursday night. Did I tell you this story? No. And I was sitting across from her, nice lady about my age, and we have fellowship and dinner every Thursday night after service, and I just like to meet new people. And she says, yeah, this is, I'm so-and-so's sister who comes all the time. She was just in from Tennessee visiting her sister. She says, I go to Bellevue Baptist Church. You ever heard of it? I said, I sure have. And I said, oh, most people have heard of that church, you know. She says, yeah, there's Sundays when we have about 30,000 people in church. I said, wow. And Adrian Rogers, some of you may have heard of his name before. He was the pastor till he went home to be with the Lord. I don't know who the pastor is now, but you know what? I rejoiced. I said, praise God's holy name for Tennessee. And the reason why there's more people, more evangelicals in Tennessee than in any other state in our country, you know why? They've been good stewards of the gospel. That's why. They've won their kids to Christ. And their grandkids and their neighbors. That's why. So let them enjoy it. Let them enjoy the fruits of their labor. And I rejoiced. I said, praise the Lord. She said, yeah, we're in the Bible Belt. And she said, I said to her, yeah, we're not really, but God's still working here. And I just rejoiced. I was so glad. I rejoiced at that. She said, you know what we do? She said, once we have one summer, or one Sunday a year, rather. She said, one Sunday a year, where we encourage 100% of the people in the church to tithe that 1 week. Just 1 week, everybody tithe. Now, most of we should tithe every week, but she says, Pastor Cole, we get so much money in. We get over $1 million in that Sunday every year. And you know what we do with it? No, what do you do with it? She said, we set up 4 times a year in our big gymnasium to have a free dental clinic for anybody in Memphis, Tennessee. I said, hallelujah. I rejoiced in that. The Bible says, the humble shall hear and be glad. And she says, you would not believe how many people we win to Christ because they come 4 times a year and get free dental care. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, the humble can hear and be glad. I don't know about you. I'm trying to be humble because it's such a better life than being proud and ugly. Full of yourselves. Full of yourselves. And so he flipped. Saul went from being good to losing complete control of his spirit, his emotions. The New Testament Saul went from being bad, a guy who couldn't control his emotions. He was out killing Christians, compelling them to blaspheme, hailing them, men and women, into prison. He was an animal. He had no control over himself. Then he got saved. And then by the Holy Spirit, as he taught us in Romans 6, he yielded himself to the Holy Spirit, his members. He became a man of complete control of his spirit. So we can believe today that there's help for us. If you're struggling in any area of the emotional realm, there's hope for us. Don't be proud. Be humble. What a transformation in Paul, Saul, who became Paul, in his spirit. In his spirit. And that crazed maniac just became calm, peaceful, serene, in control of his emotions. And boy, did God use him for almost 40 years to do stuff that you and I would just think, boy, what? So there's hope for every man. There's hope for women. Women got emotional problems too, struggles. Brylin even says that. I'm not a one that would quote Brylin as an authority, but they say most adult women have a major depression sometimes in their life, 8 out of 10 of them. All right, well, there's all kinds of chemicals flying around through a woman's body. I don't understand that, never will. But you do, but I want to stand here tonight and say God is greater than all of that. I know it's hard, and I know some people have head injuries and just they've been traumatized in their past. I understand that. I went through the dysfunctional home myself and the abuse in so many ways that, you know, I've seen the damage it does. But I got saved one day. And Jesus came to heal our broken spirit, not just save our souls, but heal our broken spirits. Set at liberty them that are bruised, amen? And set the captives free. And he can turn us into different men and different women if we will yield ourselves to him. Now, I'll just read these two, and then we'll close in prayer. It says this about John the Baptist while he was growing up. In Luke 1 and verse 80, it says this, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, small s. A few verses later, it says this about his second cousin, Jesus Christ. In Luke 2 and verse 40, about Jesus when he was growing up. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You see, John the Baptist and Jesus were babies too. I don't understand this. It boggles my mind, but they had to grow up as little boys and teenagers and young adults. But it says as they grew, they waxed strong in spirit. John the Baptist and Jesus. Jesus, the greatest ever. We know that. Don't even have to mention that. But Jesus said John was the greatest prophet of all men. Men, we need to wax strong in spirit. I can remember a day making a definitive decision in my life. I can remember the day where I just put my fist down and said, that's it. My emotions aren't going to rule my life anymore. I'm going to rule them. And I prayed for God's help, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've had a lot of people say things to me, Debbie Downers and stuff, you know, that just wanted to crush me or get bad news or something like that. And I said, I'm going to rise above this. It's not going to get to my spirit. And so, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. That's what Paul told the young preacher Timothy. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Be with your inner man. So pray for grace. Say, God, I'm having a problem. You got to be honest with God. If you're going to get any help, you got to be honest with God. And you got to say, Lord, I am really struggling with anger, depression, lust, with hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness. I didn't bring that one out yet tonight, but Lord, I'm struggling with this. And bitterness is just a cancer that'll destroy you, your spirit. And you have to be brutally honest with God sometimes. Because he knows anyways. He's in there. He's in there with the candle of the Lord, right? He sees your spirit anyway. So I said, God, you know I'm struggling with this. Would you help me? And guess what? He does. Gives us grace. So pray, be humble, ask for his grace, ask for the Holy Spirit's power, and then in that power, I believe you can rule your spirit and not be all busted up. Let's take our psalm books tonight and turn in closing to page 611. Can you find a psalm book? Get your singing voice out. Warm this place up. But this is a great song. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And if you come to the altar and somebody judges you and says, oh, I wonder. Well, the sermon tonight will say, I don't care what anyone thinks about me except God. That's all. He's my judge. That's gotten me through life saying, well, you're not my judge. God is. Pray about your spirit. Girls, boys, maybe you're struggling with some depression or something. Nobody knows it. You're so good at hiding it, but you just come and say, God, help me. Help me tonight. Let's stand.